Blog Talk Radio.
It's time, y'all. Time once again. Time to raise up your voice. Time to be entertained, enlightened, and learn more about what you already know. It's showtime. For those who don't know, this show is designed for all of us to get an outside perspective on the inside of someone else's life. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend was with a Z. Hello and welcome tonight, my audience listening today, those who have been here on the show before, and for those of you listening for the very first time, my name is Andy Brown, and on this show, I live vicariously through you, broadcasting live out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area every Wednesday night here at 8 o'clock Central Time, and because of you, each week, the show just gets better and better and better, and tonight will not be any different. We just want to thank you for tuning in your ears, giving us your undivided attention for this ride that we're about to take. We've just had so much buzz on the show that we just might have to extend it for just a few more minutes just to get everything we need to get in for the show. And ladies and gentlemen, it's just been a fantastic ride. Today is Wednesday, May 19th, 2010 is the year, and we are back in here again to go ahead and get loose. And tonight's just going to be one of those wonderful nights where we can just open up, unwind. I know we're going to have some new listeners that are very anxious to see what we're talking about tonight, and we're going to give you a taste of that. Tonight's topic will be just as controversial as any other in the past episodes, and we'll begin this evening with Volume 1 of a 5-part series, The Norm of Black America, Volume 1, Unmarried and Pregnant. There will be some of you that may call in and say, well, it's not just black America or it's not just black women. You know, we got that. We're not just saying that this is just black America and a black issue. But since we can't discuss everything and anything this evening, then we're just going to focus on the obvious and take this thing step by step and allow you all to let your voices be heard tonight. We've got a lot of single black women who have either been put in place to raise children on their own or they've chosen to do so. And oftentimes through the media, we've all heard on Oprah, we've heard on CNN, we've heard on ABC News and even the Washington Post that's reporting that 70% of black women are single, 42% are unmarried, which is actually a rise of 12% since 2008. So these numbers are going outstanding. What are we going to do today? You know, we know the story. Over 70% of all African-American women don't have husbands. Pause and think about that. You know, this is a tragedy for the entire family, especially the children. So let's just take a closer look, and we'll look at this. You know, higher education for black women, those who are, you know, just on their grind, doing their thing, and moving up the corporate ladder, statistically, they are twice as likely to have never been married at all. And, you know, that's just, you know, something we really want to take a closer look at that. You know, not even by the age of 45, maybe, twice as likely to probably be divorced, widowed, separated even while being married, just not living with that person, just legally separated. You know, it's going out there, America. We're going to talk about that tonight. And for those of you who are on the blog, blogtalkradio.com/How Was Your Weekend, was with a Z. If you're listening in on your telephone tonight, or you need to call in and give us your opinion, 646-727-3279. Again, 646-727-3279. So we'll be discussing this in detail with our callers, with our bloggers, as well as with me over in the How Was Your Weekend website, howwasyourweekend.com. I'll be in the chat room over there visiting with our family on that side. But also with us tonight, we have a featured guest, Miss Chandra Wilson out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She's going to be tuning in and chiming in with us. and talking about this topic. Chandra, are you there? Chandra, can you hear me?
Yes, Andy, can you hear me?
We can hear you. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing very good, Chandra. Tonight we're going to be getting pretty intense, getting pretty live, and discussing the topic of the night, volume one of a five-part series, Black in America, Unmarried and Pregnant. And Chandra, let me just ask you one question. I don't know, when you were younger, if you remember the childhood song and the nursery rhyme that came out, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. You remember that?
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
When, you know, what we're going to talk about tonight, when did black women start singing that song out of order or just forgetting that song at all? Not only to themselves, but to their daughters. You know, we'll talk about things like that. But, you know, we'll open up the question and you and I can talk a little bit. We know we're going to have some callers that join us a little bit later. You know, the topic tonight, the normal black America, unmarried and pregnant. What do people or why do people even say that unmarried black women are such a high risk? Do you believe that's an issue?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't think it's so much of a risk because there's so many women nowadays who want to have kids but don't feel like they have to get married to have them. Or
okay.
If they're in a situation where they did get pregnant, you know, they don't feel like they have to go and marry that person, you know, just because they got pregnant. So, I mean, I don't think it's like a risk factor anymore. It's just, I don't know. I guess you want to say it's more with the times than like a risk factor.
Okay. Now, we'll keep that in mind. You know, statistically looking at things, some statistics of unmarried pregnant women, but 70% of all African-American women don't have husbands. You know, why do you believe that is to be true?
Mostly because they probably don't feel like they have to get married just because they got pregnant. I mean, we also have to take into consideration there are a lot of women that are that have children still with the children's father, but they just choose not to be married right now. There's also the factor that a lot of people live together now and choose not to have that married title. That plays a factor into that, too. It's not so much of there's everyone out there, all the women out there are, you know, pregnant and having kids by themselves and do not have the support that they need or they're, I feel like that's not exactly, that's not true in every case.
I see. Okay, so do you think that there truly is a black male shortage, so to speak?
A black male shortage, no. Is there a black, an eligible, you know, eligible black males for, you know, the number of single women out there? There would be a shortage there, but are there a shortage of black men? No. But the ones that we're looking for are the eligibility, I would say there is a shortage.
You can explain that a little bit?
Sure. You always know, factor there's the ones that are married, you know, that are still out there. There's also the factor that men, the ones that are going in and out of jail. Also the ones that are gay or not exactly letting everybody know that they're gay.
Wow. Okay. 646-723-2279, blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. Chandra and I are having a really, really intense conversation, ladies and gentlemen. You may want to chime in on this because we know that she and I are not the only ones that are experiencing what she's talking about. And we're just going to keep the party going tonight and just keep Chandra on the phone, letting her express her opinion. I mean, Chandra, that's a real statement that you're making about some of the black males out there. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, with that in mind, have many black women made a conscious decision to be single? You know, but just kind of based on what you said.
At, for my age group and a little bit younger, I would say yes, they do. Some of them do because they still feel like their careers should take the center front. They're not in a hurry to get married. You know, they want to have their career established first before they want to get married and have children. So
okay.
I want to say that some of them do make a conscious effort to stay single.
Now, was that due to the characterization of some of these black men that you mentioned being not really coming out of the closet or however? I really can't remember how you said that. But
I mean, I don't really think that that has a factor into that. I mean, well, there are some that feel like the relationships that they have not worked to their best ability, so they might kind of have, you know, some type of stigmatism in their brain that, you know, maybe I'm not worthy of finding the right one, or maybe I was meant to be alone. Some of those, you think that, and they might sabotage their own relationships, but then there's also the ones who are more focused on their careers or more focused on raising their children that they kind of put the dating on the back burner.
I see. Okay. Very good. I mean, that's you bring up a really good point on that one. Now, with dating, we mentioned that as far as, you know, with the families, we mentioned that, you know, building a connection and relationship, being unmarried and pregnant. Let's, you know, bring that back to marriage. You know, does someone have to be married to live happily ever after, so to speak? We were talking about the little nursery rhyme earlier before.
No, I don't feel like you have to be married to be happy. It's all in your mindset. It's all what you want. It's about, you know, making yourself happy. If you feel like you need to be married to be happy, then that's your decision. But there's a lot of us out there that feel like we don't need that to be happy. I mean,
646-27-3279, ladies and gentlemen. Again, blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. We spell was with a Z. Chandra Wilson's on tonight with us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we are talking about being happily, not living happily ever after, but being unmarried and pregnant. One of the norms of black America, is this or is this not true? And she and I are just talking about the marriage aspect. We really don't have to be married to be happy. So it may be more the status quo, or maybe for us to say that it's okay for a lot of women to be single, unmarried, with children. What are your thoughts on that, Chandra?
I mean, it's to each own. I mean, me being one of those single mothers, you know, not married, I mean, that's just the life that I live, and I'm fine with that. You know,
now,
I mean,
your age group, for those listeners who are with us for the first time, your age, could you just kind of give a broad range? You don't have to necessarily give your age, but you know what age group when you say those like you?
You know, 30s. 30-ish, mid-30s and under.
Okay. All right. So, you know, kind of getting back to what we're talking about, when we talk about the single women, that means there's an absence of men there. You know, I'll just be honest with you. You know, some black men don't see many of the qualities that they so much admired within their mothers and their grandmothers for them to actually commit and want those specific characteristics that mama had or grandmother had. Do you think that's true?
That was kind of difficult because, you know, me, the way I was raised, my parents are still married, still together, and my mom was one of those that was out in the workforce. And my grandmother was one of those that was out in the workforce, and my grandfather was the one who took care of us. So, as far as, you know, some feel like the woman's supposed to stay home and take care of the man and not go out, you know, just devote their whole life to their husband and their children and not work, and if that's what they're looking for, that's going to be really hard to find nowadays.
Wow.
If that's what they're saying, that's exactly what they're looking for as far as ones like their mothers, that would be very hard. I mean, because there's so many women who want to have careers. that want to go out there. They want to make a name for themselves. They want to run businesses. I mean, there's so much we can do. And we can still have children and juggle both and be a wonderful wife, too. But, you know, I don't know. It just depends on exactly what type they're looking for. If they want a strong backbone woman, was her mom one of those?
Right. Okay. So how about, you know, maybe how that affects that child growing up? Without the father in the household, with a male figure in the household, if you are single and you are doing things independently on your own, how does that affect the child?
It can affect the child in so many different ways. I mean, it's one of those that they might feel like a part of them is missing if they don't know who their father is. That's going to be that piece in their back of their head. Why wasn't my dad ever here? Why wasn't my dad wanting, did my dad not love me? Why wasn't my dad around? Why didn't he call me enough? Why didn't he, you know, come see me? Those play a factor, and yeah, that does mess with the kid's head a lot. You know, but then there's the ones that mom and dad aren't together. But dad's still active in my life and still here, so I have the best of both worlds, and sometimes those kids are fine.
That's awesome. It's good to have that relationship and still, you know, develop with your child from a mother's perspective, because mothers are natural nurturers. Natural nurturers, how about that? And you also have the fathers who are tend to be recognized as providers, maybe father's just not there to provide in that home or that household, make that conscious decision not to do that. 646-727-3279, ladies and gentlemen. 646-727-3279. Call in and talk to us. Let us know what's going on, what you think about the conversation that Chandra and I are having tonight. Also in the blog, if you have questions, we know things are on your mind. You're listening to what we're saying tonight. The blog room, www.howwasyourweekend.com. You can meet me over in the chat room and talk to myself. blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend, was with a Z. There's so many ways to reach out to us tonight that we can open up and really just explain about how this, if this is the norm, in fact, for Black America, unmarried and pregnant, having children, not being married, or being married, divorced, and still having that child in the household, how it affects that child. Now, Chandra, we can talk a little bit more in detail and just kind of go a little bit, you know, about that. For that father who may be absent in the home, are they still looking to reach out to that child and be a support valve and just let that child know, hey, you know what, it didn't work out with your mom and I, but can things still work out between me and you?
I mean, that would be the best example of what would be right and how you can make sure that the kids, you know, don't go up with these issues about where was my dad or why wasn't he around. So, I mean, if that is a situation that's out there, then that's a great situation for the kids if, you know, mom and dad aren't together.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, there's plenty of people that can make it work. You know, there's some, just like some families that are divorced where the mom and dad still have a relationship with each other for the sake of the children. They get along great. The kids go back and forth.
Yep. That's not the norm in Black America. That's the sad, true reality of it. It's just not the norm. We don't see that on a regular basis.
Right. Right.
So what do you think?
That's true. And a lot of cases, my thoughts and cases are like that, is that we tend to not think about what's for our children in those situations. We always think about what this person did to me or a way of getting back at them instead of what's best for the child and how we can make it work. Selfish reasons.
Now, let's open that can up a little bit deeper. I mean, you're single.
Right.
You have children. So there's no one that you call your own, which means I'm pretty sure that at one point in time, if you're not doing it now, then you've been dating. You're trying to find that mate. maybe for not long term, but maybe just the short term, just to occupy some time. You know, is your choice of being single, you know, affected by some of the struggles that go on with maybe black men, with their education, with their freedom, with the lifestyle that they choose? You mentioned that before earlier. More than any other group in our society, in our workplace. I mean, how does that play into making the decision as a single mother?
I think, my situation as far as me being a single mother is particularly about not finding one that I completely connect with, you know, and I don't feel like it's so much of an education factor for me that the problem lies in, because my focus is on, like, more on what can you bring to the table, meaning can you carry on an intellectual conversation with me, because guess what, there's a lot of men who are smarter than I am, you know, that don't have degrees, that didn't go to college for whatever reason, and there's some that still don't go to college and make more money than I do. So, I mean, I don't feel like that should be a reason or a separation for why you can't date somebody. And a factor about going in and out of jail, that does play a factor. You know, there's men that go in and there's men that go out, and then it takes away from them being to raise their children. But that's not a strikeout either. If you went to jail and you, you know, have actually learned from your lesson and you're trying very hard to not go back that way, I don't count you out. As long as you're honest with me. You know, like, yeah, I did some time. Okay, what did you do it for? You know, I'm saying, I mean, there's some that I'd be like, nah, I wouldn't mess with you, you know, like the child molesters or something like that. But, you know.
You're right. A lot of black women don't think that way. You're absolutely right. That's intense. You know, sometimes you'll notice that somebody's past can really affect their future when they've made mistakes in the past and they want to do right, they want to make things better, but people tend to hold them against them because of decisions that they made in the past. Isn't that amazing?
Right, that is.
646-727-3279 is the call-in number tonight. blogtalkradio.com/ How Was Your Weekend? You know, and I know, that we're not the only ones that think like this, ladies and gentlemen. Chandra's pretty much been spot on all night, and we're talking live here in the blog talk room. We're in the chat room over here. We got people listening. We know things are on your mind. Go ahead and give us a call and let us know what you're thinking. Do you agree with what Chandra has to say? Do you have any questions that maybe we haven't brought up about this situation? The norm of black America, unmarried and pregnant. Is this a pattern that's just going to continue? Or are we doing what we can as parents, as society, to stifle this situation? Call us. Let us know what you're thinking. 646-727-3279, blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend, and also join me over in the chat room at howwasyourweekend.com. I'm in the Blog Talk Radio chat room. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just going to be one of those shows where we're just going to hit people over the head with the real talk tonight. And, Chandra, you and I have been pretty much spot on with what we've been talking about. Let's look at that. I mean, we've been talking about dating. We've been talking about single women. We've been talking about those who have children, just not married. Now, if you have a child, more than one maybe, can that be an intimidation factor? You know, are some single women, single black women for that matter, just too independent? What do you think about that?
About us being too independent?
Right.
A lot of times it does play a factor. I think it does play a huge factor, especially with us being single moms who go to work and come home and take care of our kids, that we get so into this lifestyle that we focus so much on that. It doesn't mean that if the right one doesn't come along that we're not going to maybe change some of our ways to – you know, to accommodate that situation or accommodate him or to fit him in. It's just that maybe we're not always aware of it. And it shouldn't be just brought up, like, always as an argument.
Okay. Interesting. Well, we have a caller on the line that would like to chime in. We have a caller calling in from the great state of Missouri that may have a few questions directed to me or to you. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
Caller, could you go ahead
Hello.
And talk to us? Dr. Sandra, now who is this? Who's calling tonight?
This is Ms. Toy.
Hi, Ms. Toy. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you all?
Doing good. Ms. Toy, say hello to Chandra.
Hello, Chandra.
Hi, Toy. How are you?
I'm pretty well.
Toy, have you been listening?
I've been listening a bit. I kind of chimed in a little bit late, but interesting
right.
subject. I follow the category here.
America, unmarried and pregnant. Are we continuing to have a lifetime cycle going on in this pattern? Because we talked about it earlier. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby and the baby carriage. But somewhere along the line, we may need to just throw that song out the nursery rhyme book altogether because it's just not being effective. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, for me, it goes back to the home. I mean, it has to start there. These kids need to know why that order is set, what the benefits of that is, and what it prevents later on in life. If you go out of that order, it is hard out here alone. They need to know that these images that they see, these young teen mothers that, oh, they got the new kicks on, the name brand clothes, and the kids are dressed cute, you know, and what. They may not know the background story to that. It may look pretty, but there's a lot of struggle. And that in itself, I think, is pretty bad because some of these young mothers that are in these situations that want to floss it and make it look like it's cute, they need to own up. And tell the younger ones or the ones that are in their generation that just haven't been touched as they have, that it's not the thing to do. Not singly. It's not.
646-17.
There's been a lost generation of men.
Now, Chandra, can you chime in on what Ms. Toy has to say about that?
Mm-hmm. A lot of what Toy says is true. A lot of it is true because it's not always easy being a single mother. It's not. For the ones who are doing it on their own, it is a struggle, you know, trying to provide for the kids and working. Sometimes you sit there and you're stressed at night because, hey, maybe this bill can't get paid or who's going to watch my kids because I have to go to work
or school.
There are struggles like that people go through.
Okay.
You know, that women do go through. And I agree with her. There are a lot of teenagers that think it's so cute nowadays that, oh, that's the thing to do, just to go ahead and have a baby right now. And they're
that's
not even true. Thinking right about themselves. You know, what it costs.
And they brag on material things like, oh, my baby's going to have this or my baby this, or, you know. And it's all well and dandy. All of us want our kids to have the best. But tell the real story. Tell how your mother's helping you do that. Tell how the baby's father's parents may be helping you do that because he's not, you know, in the picture. Or, you know, people just don't know the real story behind, you know, the struggle. We can make any picture look good.
You say the real story, Toy, do you think it's the mother or the father that we can pass the blame to?
It's a combination of both.
How so?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, you know, initially even stepping into that whole arena of parenthood, I mean, was it talked about? Planned? I mean, and then once it happens, okay, how are we going to co-parent if we're not going to be together? You know, It's a lot of fact. Communication is lost. It's
so
easy.
So you can lay down with this person, and this person next wants to lay down with you. A child is about to come into the world, and there is no plan, not even a thought, or even a concern about even getting married.
Right.
How about that? Now, why would something?
I'm gonna say much less the two people looking at themselves and their own lives the way they're set at that moment. You know, do you even have a job? You know, does she have a job? Do you have your own place? Do you have transportation? You know, the two that are about to have intercourse need to have their stuff straight.
Wow. Well, we have another caller that wants to chime in. Also, the Midwest keeps the phones hot, ladies and gentlemen. 646-727-3279. We have a caller calling in from Kansas, the state of Kansas, also on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Doing good, man. Talk to us. Talk to our panel. Who is this tonight?
This is Dub.
Dub, what's going on, my man? How's everything going?
Oh, not too much. I just got back here from a little graduation ceremony here we had for the eighth grader. And it's funny that you guys are talking about this subject because the ladies are right, but I have also something else I'd like to chime in on. We as adults here in this day and age now have learned our lesson, so therefore we can look back and say that, okay, this person should have this together, and all those thoughts that are being brought forward. But you know that these children in this day and age, no matter how hard you beat a dead horse and tell them that, these kids nowadays have their own agenda. So therefore, there are very different ways that parents go about it. I mean, we as parents, we can only do the best that we can and what we're doing and pray to God that they're listening to what we're preaching and pray to God that they take heed to what we're preaching them. As a young man, I didn't never listen to my parents as much as what I should, just like the people were saying today. So we have to look toward that. And we're living in a different era now, and there's a lot more peer pressure from what I'm seeing on these young kids than it was when I was growing up. Now, mind you, I'm not that old. I'm only 43 years old. But when I was coming through junior high school and high school, sex wasn't on my mind as much as you would think these kids are now. And then if you listen to the music that is being played for these kids, all it is promoting sex. They don't have real music like we did back in the day to have fun, like the Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh crew, the Slick Ricks and all those other things that just promote having fun at a party, going to a party and you done dance so hard you just coming out sweating. You ain't thinking about sex till then, I mean, unless you with that crowd of people that get down like that. You know what I'm saying? So these kids are going through a lot more than what we're going through. And there are some parents that they watch them do what they do, and they only know that certain lifestyle. They haven't been exposed to different lifestyles. You know what I'm saying? Most of the kids are probably growing up in single-parent homes, like probably has been stated, and that all they know is one side. A lot of these kids aren't been shown love and affection and different other things. So all they know is the streets and my homies. That's where they're getting their love from. So we have to take, as parents, we're going through, what they're going through is just no different. It's no different than if a person's in prison or whatever and doing time, your family doing time with you. That's how we are with these kids growing up. So when they go out to get sex and do all that, that's the only way they think that they can feel love. And they have no idea what love consists of. So how do we teach them? You know, we can sit there and point the, you know, the finger that maybe they should think about this and think about that. But we had to go through life to even reflect back to even start thinking about that.
You know, you bring up a good point. You bring up a real good point. And Chandra, I know you've been listening. What are your thoughts on what E-Dub had to say about that?
Okay. A lot of what he's saying is correct. I mean, there are children, they're out there looking for the love. And, I mean, me being a single parent with my children, that's why I make sure that they get what they need every day. You know, I tell them all the time how much I love them. I give them hugs and kisses, and no matter how old they get, they're going to get more and more and more of that because I want it instilled in them. I want them to know that no matter what, that they are loved. And, you know, just like he talks about, you know, they do get that from the music and the TV, the videos. That's why I censor that. I censor it a lot. You know, the music that they listen to, I don't let them watch videos. I don't, because I don't want them to think that that is the typical behavior or that's the way that a woman is supposed to act or behave.
Wow. Yeah. We're living in a society where television does play a part in raising our children, not only television, but the internet as well as a lot of text and sex messaging. So I can understand where all of you all are coming from. Toy, you still on the line? Toy, you still there with us?
I'm still here.
Okay, what are your thoughts
on
that?
You
care to chime in?
My thoughts, again, it begins with the home. And, yes, I understand what he's saying about, you know, everybody lives and they learn and what have you. But just for that purpose alone, we need to state it, reiterate it, jab it in their head. I don't know how. I mean, just like schools sit here and they teach lessons, and how do they teach? They teach by repetition. How does it stick in your head? Because they hear it. They hear it over and over again. And, yes, I understand as far as parents walking the walk and, yeah, kids seeing what their parents are doing. Hopefully there is one parent in their life that is trying to do the right thing if they're only dealing with one. Or if it's not a situation like that, usually there's somebody that it's a grandma or somebody strong that's going to teach those values. Now, hopefully the kids find an inkling of respect for that guardian, adult, or whatever, that they think like I did when I was younger. Oh, no, I better not do this because what would my parents think? Whereas a lot of these kids now don't even have the respect for their parents, that they don't even have that conscience. They don't give a hell what the parent may think of state. They're just going to do it and think about the consequences later, whereas we would stop it, go. Where is that? Bring it back.
You know, that's a very good point to bring up. I know our bloggers could be chiming in and in the blog room and telling us what's going on. They're also, you know, listening tonight. They may not have a voice to say, but I know you all are listening. But let's just kind of keep the party going, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we've been bringing up some very interesting points about, you know, single women, unmarried, pregnant, black women at that. And that's who we need to hear from tonight. I mean, our callers have been making very strong points. They've been chiming in, and they've been telling us what's on their mind, and we know you all have some strong and interesting thoughts about this as well, whether you agree, whether you disagree, or whether you want to bring up something else to the table. You know, let's talk about this in general while we're on the same subject. You know, why do some black women tend to blame or push fault toward black men for being single? Are they pushing the men away just to raise that level of independence? You know, Chandra, let's hear from you first.
Do I think that they push the men away or blame them?
Yeah, to blame them.
For the lifestyle that they've probably been in, yeah, they probably do blame them. You know, they feel like, you know, we hear it so many times that men are only out for one particular thing. They only want the sex. Once they get it, they're gone. You know, that they're not meant to stay around in relationship. I mean, there's so many that have that stigmatism in their brain that they, you know, they already have those guards up, blocks up beforehand. I mean, and a lot of them have been in situations like that. A lot of them have. But I also feel like, you know, we can't place the blame completely on someone else. There's got to be blame within ourselves, too.
I see. Well, can we get a male perspective? E-Dub, you're still on the line with us?
Yes, I am. I've been trying to get with you, but I understand. I have an eighth grade daughter.
Okay.
And we are going through the little boy thing now, back and forth. And I tell her all the time, plus I have some other daughters that, you know, I raise. I lost my train of thought before, but I always tell them that, yeah, these young men that you feel that like you so much, they are out for one thing. I was that guy. So, therefore, I know how they think. I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm going to give it to her uncut and let her know because I can't be around her all the time. So I have to point out these things and be tough to let her know what these guys are doing. A lot of them play the preacher's son's role. You know what I'm saying? To get where they're going or whatever. I have a niece that had never had sex in her life but had one time and she ended up with a child. Now, as adults, we all know that it only takes one time. It just so happened that she's never veered from her vision of completing school and also taking care of her child and doing what's right and trying to be responsible. She lucked up and has a gentleman in her life that's helping her, but they're still not married. You know what I'm saying? I tried to break the cycle in my life because I grew up without a father in the home. My mother was a single parent of three. So I also had the thrill of, the good side of learning what the girls want and how to respond to the ladies by talking to my mom or whatever. And I also had the male perspective of growing up and experience different things and talking with my uncles and different other things. So I got both sides. So I was kind of cheating playing both sides of the fence. But I just feel that I think I've sometimes been a lot harder on my kids, and then I really don't know. But it's just hard to say. And yeah, like the lady said, you can't blame the male all the time because it takes two to tangle.
Now, with that thinking that you just said, I mean, you're installing this in these young women's minds. Is that persuading them or giving them the idea that it's better for them to be single?
I'm persuading them. My persuasion is more or less geared toward to follow your dream first. I know this feels like a male shortage out here, but there's always going to be males out here. Get your life in order first. And once you can't make nobody happy until you make yourself happy.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? You have to stay on course, and it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a complete village to raise a child. It's not just your mother or your father or your auntie. It's some church members involved. It's the minister involved. It's the teachers involved. It's probably somebody that lives on your block. You know what I'm saying? We was always scared. It wasn't scared about what mama was gonna say. Yeah, I was scared. Mama was finna kick my butt. She finna beat shit out of me. It wasn't scared by what she was gonna say. It's what she's gonna pick up and hit my ass with. You see what I'm saying? So that's it. And we living in a different society. You can't just do that no more. They call the police on you.
You're right about that. Now, Sean,
yeah.
Let's look at this. I mean, I know we're about to end your segment here. E-Dub, Toy, you'll stay on the line with us just a moment. You've heard some powerful messages from both people. You know,
right.
Can you give us your thoughts on what you're thinking, you know, what we need to get out of this show tonight?
What we need to get out of this show is that I mean, is this what we were talking about? Are there so many women out there that are facing this issue by themselves, raising children by themselves? How do we, you know, bring it to light? I mean, educate, just like you were saying, educate, you know, the younger ones out there so we can try to help them with the situation so they don't have to be, like Toy was saying, the struggling mother who, you know, who has this facade in her head that, oh, it's going to be easy and it's going to be, you know, my kids can be Gucci down every day and they're going to look so cute. But when it's, that's not the issue and it's not the factor. And there's also the fact that there's so many mothers that are doing it on their own. Why is that? And, you know, how could we, you know, start getting the fathers more involved?
I see. Well, I tell you what, this is going to just, we're going to take a small break. I'd like for E-Dub and Toy to stick around and hang out with us for a little bit longer. But, you know, for the first half of our show, it's been great. Chandra, I really appreciate you coming on and giving us a bit of your time tonight. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do down in Baton Rouge in case anybody wants to reach out to you out there and at the How Was Your Weekend website?
Sure. You can reach me, just like Andy said, on howwasyourweekend.com. Chinua, that's my screen name. So you can reach me there. I'm in Baton Rouge. What I do, I'm substitute teach. Also on the side, I'm working on my own businesses. I'm about to do some wedding planning. I make blankets. I do like Greek blankets. You know, you want your shield done, want it crocheted in a blanket, hit me up. I can do all of that.
Very good. Thanks, Sandra, so much. We appreciate your time tonight. Callers, if you're going to give us just a little bit of time, we're going to take a short intermission and come back with part two of this featured story tonight, or not story, rather, but part two of our program in this topic. We'll just take a small intermission and come right back. Stick around, hang out with us just for a little while. We'll play some soft, not some soft music, but, I mean, this is an elevated crowd. We'll go ahead and keep the party going for a little bit, so just kind of stay tuned for just a moment.
I'm gonna make you mine.
Thank you for your patience with us this evening. We're back for the second half of tonight's show. Please listen closely, ladies and gentlemen, as we just want to continue wrapping up, which has been a very hot topic, the norm of Black America, unmarried and pregnant. We're going to be talking about that in continuation in this hour. We've got some callers on the line who have been chiming in. We've been talking about single mothers. We've been talking about children. And we're going to bring it to full circle here tonight. We've had a caller that brought up a very interesting point about teenagers and preteens. Well, you know, well, we can talk about that and even look at the statistics as they state. In the United States alone, 7 in 10 women who've actually had sex before the age of 14, can you believe that? 6 in 10 of those women who've actually had sex before the age of 15 report that it's been more frequent than more than just one time, not just losing their virginity. So we can keep the party going just on these topics alone, ladies and gentlemen, just as young America is seeing this, the Norm of Black America, Volume 1, Unmarried and Pregnant. We talked about the adult factor, but our caller E-Dub has also enlightened us about, you know, the teenagers, the children. And why not go ahead and have someone who's in that scope and see that on a daily basis in a teacher? We have a teacher who's on the line. Maybe she hasn't chimed in just yet, but we need her to go ahead and chime in. Ms. Micah Ware. Micah, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Micah, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very good. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the early part of the show, but tonight we're talking about the Norm of Black America, Volume 1, Unmarried and Pregnant. Now, just kind of catch us up to speed a little bit. You're a teacher in the education, is that right?
Yes, in the Metroplex, Dallas Metroplex area, middle school.
Metroplex
reading.
Area?
Yes, seventh grade reading.
Seventh grade.
Yes, very impressionable age.
Okay. So we're talking about the Norm of Black America, Volume 1, Unmarried and Pregnant. Usually things like this tend to start at an early age.
Yeah.
Not getting the appropriate information. So, you know, from a teacher's perspective, let's kind of talk about that. Why do you think there are so many pregnant teens in public schools? We had a caller that actually talked about his daughter in that range.
I mean, there are so many factors, from the home life, what are they learning at home, who's there to teach them. When they get to school, they're going to learn from their friends, whether it's right or wrong, because they want to be in the in crowd. I mean, I have actually met a seventh grader who was encouraging other seventh graders to become pregnant because her grandmother was taking her out shopping and getting her whatever she wanted.
Wow.
So we reported that to the principal so he could take her aside. That's some of the things that's going on.
Now, in your experience, not only in seventh grade, but some of those kids who moved to high school, have you seen the dropout rate increase in pregnant teens in the public school system?
Yes. I mean, they feel like, you know, I can just go and I get a job. Doing what? Well, I can just get a job. And you ask them, doing what? They cannot answer you. That's just not good. It's not a good situation.
So if it's not a good situation, I mean, let's talk about that. What are some of the things that people say, like some of the stereotypes against pregnant teenagers? The girls, for that matter.
It's not so much as, well, there are some certain stereotypes. For instance, I meet a lot of parents, single mothers at the school who are either in their late 20s or early 30s with middle schoolers. So they may be 28 with a middle schooler. So they're still young themselves. I mean, this is a very impressionable age for these kids. They're soaking everything in, but you have to look at what is it that they're soaking in.
Right. You know what? That's a good thing to bring up. So what they're bringing in is probably what they're actually been taught. Would you agree?
True. I mean, some of them have. You talk about what examples do they have at home. Some of them have the example of what not to do. Do not become a young teenage mother because they see their own young mother struggling. I've had students tell me, well, my mother had me when she was 16. Well, you see how she's struggling. You see how tough it is on her.
Now, let me ask you this. How is it best to counsel these teens? As a matter of fact, counsel the parents who are dealing with these teenagers because they may not know how to actually speak to these children if it happens more often than not.
Exactly.
What do you,
some of the parents are young. They don't exactly know how to just come out and just talk to their child in a loving way. When they talk to them, a lot of them, it's always the arguing, fussing, and fighting because some of them don't see their children. They may not look at them and say, okay, this is my child. All they're seeing is this child yelling and arguing, and they're going right back at them as if they're talking to another adult. So some of the kids try to take on the adult role when they actually need their parent to be the parent.
Mm. So what do you say to a teenager who's pregnant, you know, on more than one occasion? You know, not just stopping there with that. Especially if the parent's not there to give that support, you know, the mother, the father. I mean, who do you even blame for that?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Because there are some of them don't have anyone telling them anything to begin with about the first one. So they think it's okay to go ahead and have another one, even though you may talk to them. They may have been taught about birth control and abstinence, celibacy. But it's what they choose to take in.
I see. You know what? Now being that you're seventh grade, you said? Seventh grade, Micah?
Yeah. Seventh
okay.
grade.
Now, at a very young adolescent age, why would a teenager even want to get pregnant?
They think it's cute when it's not. Oh, we can go out and get matching outfits. Oh, I'm going to have someone to love. That's a big one. They want someone to love and someone who will love them back because they may not get it. Well, they may feel they don't get it. All parents don't show love the same way.
Wow.
So the student begins to act up because they're crying out for some love and attention. And for some young girls, when they get the attention from the boys, that's all they need. That is all they need, and they'll go for it.
We've got some time left tonight, ladies and gentlemen. 646-727-3279. You can also chat with us in the blog room, blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend, was with a Z. Also reach me over in the chat room at howwasyourweekend.com. Spell that was with a Z also. Speaking tonight with a seventh grade teacher in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Ms. Micah Ware, and Micah and I have been talking about the Norm of Black America, Volume 1, Unmarried and Pregnant. Young adolescents, the teenagers and the preteens who are going through maybe just needing the fact that they need to be loved, they need someone to love them, so they're having these children. You know, maybe you can enlighten some of that. I don't know if you have children yourself, but, you know, what may be some of the struggles that most of these young children may go through as they get older?
It's not only, some of them think it's just financial. It's not only financial struggles you're going through. You can go through emotional, physical, because at that age, your body is still developing. Some of them don't understand that. And they don't understand how to handle their emotions to begin with, let alone going through a pregnancy and having a child of their own. Those don't understand that baby is not going to stay a baby, stay in the cute stage. So, again, you have to deal with those emotions of that baby growing. There are many different struggles they'll have to go through. Some of them don't want to hear about it.
Okay.
So that's it right there.
You know, and this is some of the things as they tend to get older, they may see this. You know, looking back as they do begin to get older, from a dating perspective, if they're not married, they're having children at a very young age. You know, there are some men out there. You know, let's just be honest. There are some men out there who don't want to date women that have children, especially children that are not their own. There are some men who think that way. So
the women who think
to the negative aspect of that, some women, you know, I don't know if you're listening or not, but, you know, some men tend to think that there's some women out there who may be scorned. They have children. They don't want to date someone that has children already. You know, you can easily be labeled as you can't get a man, or you got too many kids, or I don't want to spend my time and my money on someone that has children.
Yes, I've heard that before. I've heard women say they don't want to date someone who has children or multiple. So I've heard guys who say they don't want to date a woman with multiple children by multiple men.
Multiple children by multiple men?
All right. More than one child with more than one man. So you have that issue as well.
Okay. You go on the priority list. What's being stated? Is it your family? Is it children? Is it work? Is it your financial status that you're trying to achieve? You know, where's the
priority? You mean among our young adults, youth?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Priority. Well, first, some of them don't even know what that word means. So then when you tell them about it, or give them a dictionary, I'd say some of their priorities are their friends. And what they're doing, what their friends are doing. That's what their priorities are.
Michael, let's take this to the phone lines. We have Ms. Toy, I believe, who's been waiting, who's been sitting on the phone. Toy, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Well, we've kind of put the focus more on the young children and their issues of growing up, having children, unmarried, pregnant. We've been talking about how it looks upon young women to have children at a very young age, you know, some of the struggles that they may go through. Kind of paraphrase, you know, in as short as you can possibly say, you know, what kind of struggles can women expect to have at that age?
If they don't have the help of the father, they can expect to cause financial strain on their own home, be it, you know, their mother and father, if they're helping them with their kids. It's going to pull away from their finances because they're helping their child with the grandchild, more so than just helping as a grandparent, you know, would in itself. It's going to cause you to maybe miss days of school or work because the kid is sick and you're the parent, you've got to take off, it's just you. Therefore, you may lose a job. If you don't have transportation, you think about the fact you got to stand on the bus stop with that kid and then their sickness. Again, you're pulled away from work, school, other obligations. They're stressed because it's 24/7 you, but yet you're the only one that's making that boat float. I believe young lady spoke about when she spoke about the fact that I'm losing my train of thought now. It's a lot of struggle as far as emotional-wise, too, is what I was trying to get at. A single mother has to be prepared to somewhat cushion those blows or endure some of those emotions of that child. That child's going to cry out for, where's daddy? How come he's not involved like Susie's dad is? How come we're like this? And they're like, you know, they're... How come? What's wrong with me? Or what happened to you two? Oh, mommy, was it your fault? Or oh, daddy, was it your fault?
Okay.
There's a lot.
You know, there's an old song once stated back in the late 90s by Tupac Shakur. Brenda's got a baby, but Brenda's barely got a brain. A damn shame the girl can hardly spell.
Yes.
So true. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
If I may, Chili from TLC touched upon something that kind of sparked my interest, because initially when she talked about the fact that if she ever had a daughter, she may not allow her to play with baby dolls. And at first I thought, oh, how awful. But then when I saw where she went with that, it's the fact that, you know, we buy our little girls dolls, you know, from the jump. They're mothers, right? They're playing dolls, and I'm mommy, and I'm dressing this baby up cute, and this is what we do. And this little girl's by herself with her baby. Now, what do we do with the boys? We buy them cars, flashy little cars to play with. They grow up, and what do? Boys love their toys. They love these cars, and they sometimes love these cars more than they do the women and the children. These young ladies, they're always there with the kids. I'm not going to say that, you know, and I don't want to speak ill of all men, because I know a lot of excellent fathers. But I also know that there's a huge epidemic of fellas that do not own up, and mothers of these fellas out here that handicap these men, because they will come in and try to, instead of telling their son, don't have multiple kids, outside of marriage or whatever else they're doing, hopping bed to bed, instead they'll pay that child support for that son. Or I'll try to keep this grandbaby, and they're running themselves wild. And it's not helping that man. It's making it easier for him to bed hop, much less the woman that's letting him hop in her bed. It's about to stop somewhere.
You're absolutely right. It's got to stop. I mean, we think that it has to stop. Number one, prioritize it. You know, what's really important to these young women, and what are we installing in their minds to say that it's okay to have these children without being... I mean, how easy is it for a young woman and a young man to come together and make a decision, okay, we're going to take the responsibility of making a baby, but we don't want to take the responsibility of raising that child. You know, and you liken it to, you know, some men who may do some trifling things, but there are, you may want to also take into consideration, there are some trifling women out there as well.
Very much so. Very much so. There are a lot of women that will leave their kids at home so they can run to the club because they got a new fit to show, or just want to go be fast. These kids are at home by themselves, expected to stay in the home. But lo and behold, the neighbors are seeing that these kids are out, hanging out late. And you wonder, where's the parent? How come that kid's not at, well, the parent ain't even at home to even call them inside.
Well, Toy, Micah, I mean, let's talk about that. Let's get the male perspective on here. E-Dub, you still with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let's kind of get the male perspective on what's been going on. I know you've been listening. You know, we've been talking about the trifling men. Let's kind of bring it up about the trifling women as well. Not taking.
Well, not trying to get a contradiction started, but I can remember as growing up through the junior high school years and the high school years, and they had a home economics class. I heard a young lady speaking about baby dolls. Well, during that time, as we was growing up, I could say, oh, it wasn't that long ago, about 25 years ago, since I graduated, they used to give the young ladies dolls. I don't know if they had some memory chip in them or however they done it, but they had an assignment that they had to keep this child, and they would know when they fed the child and different other things or what have you. And they had to keep that child for however long the period of time was to teach them how it was going to be if they got pregnant at a young age and how their life would change. Now, mind you, I didn't have that class, but as I got older and I had kids younger, as I said before, I tried to break the chain of the cycle or whatever of not a father figure not being around. So I stayed with my kids, but the mother did the running. she did more time going clubbing and different other things than she did at a job, and she didn't have no job. So I made sure that when the kids got home from school, my face was shown. If I did have to leave, it was food already cooked, hot food. I wasn't making no bologna sandwiches or whatnot, hot food so they could eat. So some of them took on my behavior or whatever. And as again, and I taught them, and we'd always had those talks, sex talks and different other things about premature sex or whatever before you know you're ready. Like the lady said, they don't know their bodies. They're, a lot of these, I don't know if it's what it is, if it's in the milk, if it's in the water or whatever. A lot of these young ladies are developing a lot earlier than the young ladies developed when I was coming along. You know, a lot of these parents are being more friends than they are parents to these children. You know what I'm saying? You can't be a friend to a child. You have to be a parent to a child. You know what I'm saying? You can have a good relationship as far as, you know, y'all had fun together, da-da-da. But I'm not going to be your friend. I'm your parent first and foremost. And there's a lot of guys that try to do their role or whatever and don't get credit for it. But then, and then the female parent bashes them or whatever. Oh, he da 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 da. Nah, he ain't doing that. I want my baby to have this. You know, sometimes we hinder a child by giving them everything that they want or whatever. Like the one young lady said, yeah, they want them Gucci down and da da da. They ain't work for nothing. And then the one that's saying they want them Gucci down, they ain't bought the Gucci. That's,
wow.
I can't afford Gucci. So who's getting Gucci? Is it in Marshalls? Is it in Marshalls? They got Gucci in Marshalls now? I can't
not
afford
mine.
Gucci.
Not
you know,
mine.
So you know, it's one of those perspectives. And I was just talking with my brother today about some of the kids that we grew up with, young ladies and males, where their parents gave them everything that they desired as growing up. And what did they turn out to be? What did they ever work for? What struggle have they went through to show that's not the way to go? So we have a lot of blame as parents too that lead these kids to some of these lives that they are doing, being single and pregnant. Some of us do the damn best we can, but We all fall short somewhere, and kids have their own agenda. As I said before, you can lead the horse to the water, but you can't make them drink it all the time.
Good point, Michael. What are your thoughts on that?
Ooh, he's made some valid points there. Haven't worked for a thing, but they expect the world. A lot of them do. They expect the world. Some of these teenage parents I've seen. Not only do they expect the parents to get the world for them, but they expect their parents to get for the now grandbabies, as if they're owed, it's owed to them. Education first. You have time for all that later. Get your education first. A lot of them just think they are owed the world.
Is that the mentality that they're getting from others in the classroom, or is it something that they're getting at home, or maybe on television? Where is it coming from?
Combination. It's a combination of some of everything. Some of the parents, they are hindering their children by giving everything. When your child come home with D's and F's and didn't have the nerve to want to turn around and become a teenage parent. No, that's not the way we're not going to do that. Not going to do it.
So they're finding another way to get away from school by having a child and trying to do something else? Is that what you're saying?
Some of them feel they can do it that way. They just don't understand what they're in for.
What we need to do as parents, as teachers, as counselors, to really install this back in these young women, and even the young men for that matter, because they're the ones who are impregnating these girls to begin with.
You know what? Some of these students, that I've seen, seventh grade, they don't even understand what ma'am and sir mean. They think if you call them ma'am, you're offending them. That's little things like that.
Ooh,
they don't understand the basics. That if I say, yes, ma'am, I am not offending you. I'm not calling you a name. I tell them it's showing a sign of respect that some of you obviously don't do to your own parents.
Ooh,
little things. You can't show respect to your elders, but you're willing to bring a child into this world who you're going to want to respect you.
Mm-hmm.
It goes a long way.
We have another caller that may want to chime in and speak. We have a caller calling out of Dallas, Texas. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there? 8597, are you there? Maybe that caller decided not to speak, but that's okay. You know, we're getting the teacher perspective, we're getting a parental perspective, and we're also getting some good information from great individuals.
If teachers are off, they do a dual role. They're also the parents of the kids. They're teachers, but they're also the parents as well.
Now,
we tell the students, I'm your mama while you're here. I'm your teacher and your mama, because you need both. And some of them, they're crying out for it. They are crying out for it.
Let's open that door a little bit wider from that education perspective. There are some black women who, you know, spend their time pursuing their education. They want to pursue their career goals and not really realize that their strongest assets, their looks, their fertility, things like that, decrease with age as you get older. So with that being said, when does the family really truly begin? When do you start really wanting to have a family, if you're wanting one at all?
Well, I'm noticing that black women are doing it all at the same time. Family, the career, education, because now you don't have to just go to the university to have class. You can do it in the library, online, at home online. So a lot of them that I'm seeing are doing it all right now. They're giving it a lot of hats.
So are you saying that no one's out there that wants to pursue that education? They got their children, they're pursuing that degree. They don't want to connect to anybody that's going to complete that quote-unquote family?
Oh, of course there are. Of course there are.
E-Dub, what do you think about that?
I think there are. I just don't necessarily, I wouldn't say I don't agree or disagree. I just beg to differ, more or less, that it's the ladies that's doing it all. The ladies, in my eyes of what I've seen, most of the ladies are doing it all is because they choose to. They have more or less somewhat pushed the young male out the way, or they have listened to the family or whatever. But there are a lot of males out there that want to be a part of the child's life. Now, whether they're not because of the grandparents, I mean, it could be a number of situations. You know, some of them get discouraged and just get tired and be like, man, I ain't got time to fight with this no more. You know, let them do whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Instead of keeping them involved or whatever, doing in the discipline aspect or whatever, staying, you know, like have joint custody, that they might stay, they might have the mom might have more or less be the custodial parent, more or less, but the other child goes and stays with the father or whatever. Well, they have to be on the same accord as far as discipline is concerned. You know what I'm saying? You have to somewhat allow that man to be in that child's life or whatever. I think that's a lot of part of what we're missing. For one, a lot of these males that are coming up now have not been trained to be males, to be men, more or less.
Wow.
And they're falling short on their manhood. So therefore, that's a shortage there, not alone to be
not also a part of the adventure or asked to be a part of the adventure. Quit giving them so much the easy way out of it. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to take the high road and they take the low road, or however it's going to be done. But if you keep giving it to them, you damn sure believe they're going to take it. You know what I'm saying? I just never was the one to choose to take it. I'd rather kick the female out and I take the kids. It's cheaper than it is for you to keep them, because I see that you're not going to do right. That's just my perspective and my opinion, and I can only speak on mine. But, it's just that you have to allow and ensure that they're going to be a part of that.
Okay. Well, we have another we have another caller that wants to chime in and talk about the show. Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Look at me. Talk to us. Who are we speaking to tonight?
Damien. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you may want to turn your radio down just a little bit. Damien, have you been listening to the show?
Yeah.
Okay, well, tonight we're talking about The Norm of Black America, Volume 1, Unmarried and Pregnant. We touched upon a lot of different topics tonight based on what's going on, what we've been seeing in America, especially from the black perspective. Can you enlighten on what you've been hearing tonight?
I just think that what it all boils down to is values, and it's a cycle between men and women. The things that women value are not necessarily things that will contribute to a positive relationship. I'm not just saying that it's the women's fault. Also, you have men who have opportunities to basically hit the road, if you want to say. Because at the end of the day, the woman is the one who's going to be left with custody. She's the one who has to get up in the morning, work, cook, clean. She has to do a lot of stuff. So when a good man comes along, there's a lot of resentment there. So it's like it's just one cycle. You can take this all the way back to slavery, or at some point, black men, black women have to start taking accountability for themselves. When they start taking accountability for themselves, then things will start to change. But right now, people are more comfortable doing things that they like to do. They know it may not be healthy for them, but they're going to continue to do them. And until you change that, do things that are not healthy, do things that are healthy as opposed to what's comfortable. For instance, you want a healthy relationship, but people want you to accept them for who they are. When in a relationship is about doing a lot of things that you don't necessarily feel like doing for the other person because it makes them happy and it makes you happy to see them happy. Overall, at the end of the day, you have to start taking accountability. You have to take a look at yourself and say, hey, you know, these things that I'm comfortable doing are not necessarily healthy for my relationship, my family, my friends, or my kids. Even though I'm comfortable being this way, in a long term, it's not going to be effective. And now I'm starting to cycle. But now, you see little kids, like in certain neighborhoods, you can just ride in the neighborhood and you can just see expressions on some of the youth face. They're upset. About what? They don't even have a reason to be upset about. They just look angry. So at the end of the day, we can come up with all the things that have caused the things that have been going on, or you can start taking accountability.
Well, Damien, that's a good point, man. We definitely appreciate you calling in. Micah, you've heard from some great people tonight. You know, what are your thoughts? We're about to close out our show for the night. You know, can you enlighten us and kind of an example on where we need to go as parents, as teachers, as individuals, need to help these children understand this?
Yeah, maybe for ourselves. Help these children. We got to help them. Damien made a good point there. Some of them are angry, but they have no idea why. Some of them cannot express why. They don't understand how to express it. We just have to work harder at trying to train them up better. It's everyone's everyone's responsibility. Parents, teachers, all of us, we're all involved together.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard from some great people tonight. As always, we keep it hot. We keep it interesting, and we're going to keep it going as hot as we can make it. Michael, can you tell them a little bit about yourself or anybody that's trying to get in contact with you? Maybe see your profile at howwasyourweekend.com?
I don't have one yet. I still have to set it up. Hopefully I'll set it up by the weekend.
That's all right. We'll get everything squared away at howwasyourweekend.com. And my final thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say that, number one, this has been a great show. We seem to have a lot of miscommunication that a lot of parents and teachers aren't giving these children, a lot of father-daughter relationships, a lot of sister-brother relationships maybe, oftentimes leaving people just not a platform to actually vent or speak to these young people on what they need to do to get things in order. You know, young ladies, we're talking to you tonight. Young men, we're talking to you. Also, we want you to listen because we're really trying to help you. You know, the path that we've walked that has gone before you, all of us have done it before. So just take heed to the voices that you've heard tonight from your family, your parents, your teachers, other students, even friends. You know, let's get the awareness out there so that we can all be able to learn from one another and, you know, see these results and raise these young ladies and young men like we were taught as ourselves as a community. It works better that way. And this is the way we can truly learn from one another and, you know, keep the family thing going. So I've had a great time tonight. I hope all of you all have too. Please stay tuned to listen to some of more outstanding shows tonight that we're going to do. As I wrap the show up today, I want to thank my panelists who gave in their insight. I want to thank the wonderful men and women who've called in today, those who've been blogging and expressing their thoughts. As before, you make this show what it really is. If you had a good night tonight or you got some good information out of this, do us a favor. Tell 5 more people to tune in with you next week as we come back with another outstanding program that we're going to speak to you in this series, Homosexual Hormones, What to Do When Your Child Tells You That They're Gay. Stay tuned in, ladies and gentlemen. Log in, listen, and learn. blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend was with a Z. Also visit us at www.howwasyourweekend.com, the website. Learn from us. Thank you for listening tonight. God bless you. Good night. And I'm gone.